Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This year at Grace, I'm just looking at something here. I've got to figure out what's coming next there. Just make sure I'm on the right page. This year at Grace, our theme for the Sundays leading up to Christmas have focused on how we can take our Christmas preparation and celebration a little deeper. You know, it's always a challenge for us as Christians to maintain a proper focus this time of year because, well, in America, Christmas has become not simply a religious holiday, but a cultural one as well. So we've done a few things different this year. We provided an Advent calendar. It looks kind of like this. It's little packets of small envelopes. It's got a daily suggestion intended to encourage us to look outside of ourselves a bit more. And our sermon series has looked at various activities related to Christmas that are good, and we've been considering how we can make them better as we live out our faith for Him who is the very best, the Christ who came at Christmas so that He might die and rise again to take away the guilt of our sin. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that, you know, buying presents is good, but being present with God and with others is better, especially as it reflects the best of all, Jesus, who is present with us, Jesus who came to us as Emmanuel, a word that literally means God with us. And last week, we considered the fact that sending out Christmas cards, I don't know, how many of you sent out Christmas cards? Yes? No? But see, not too many. We sent out Christmas cards for the first time this year in many years. Normally, we send out an email with an attachment with pictures and stuff of our family. So sending out those greetings is good, but looking for ways to send peace to others is better because it points to Him, again, who is best of all, Jesus, our Prince of Peace. So we moved from presents to cards, and today we moved to cookies. Christmas cookies. You know, while sharing cookies is good, and we've got tons of cookies downstairs. Lillian, you outdid yourself again this year. We've got tons of cookies downstairs, so you're welcome to come down after worship. Sharing cookies is good, but today we want to consider how we might share joy and how that might be a little better for us. For those of you who maybe don't attend a church that observes the liturgical calendar, we actually find ourselves right now in the season of Advent. The word Advent means to come. And during the 4 Sundays before Christmas, we focus on how Jesus comes to us. He came to us at Christmas as the child in the manger. He comes to us each day by faith, and we know He's going to come again at the end of time. Each week on our Advent wreath, a candle is lit, and each of those candles kind of has a different meaning. Today, the theme of that candle is joy. As Christians, we know the joy that Jesus gives. But the Christmas season is one of joys even for our culture. I think everybody has joy during this year for one reason or another. Loved ones are going to travel in some of the worst weather of the year just to be together to experience the joy of their families. I've got 2 boys that are coming home, one today and one tomorrow, and they're going to be with us for a couple of weeks, get to be together as a family again. We decorate our homes in a special way. We sing special songs. And we often make and eat traditional foods, like Christmas cookies. A Wikipedia entry on Christmas cookies, and you know it's got to be true because it's on the internet, folks. A Wikipedia on Christmas cookies tells us that modern Christmas cookies actually trace their history to recipes back in medieval Europe. During that time, little biscuits began to be made with some new spices that they hadn't had a chance to have before as trade was coming in from around the world. So things like cinnamon and ginger and black pepper and almonds and dried fruit. Now, we consider those to be common ingredients, but for them it was a rather new innovation, a new addition. And then by the 16th century, Christmas treats like Lebkuchen or Fessernusse, or pepper nuts, and Krumkake were popular. I don't know, do any of those sound familiar to you? I probably totally messed up the pronunciations, but how many of you remember parents or family making special dishes like that? Well, you guys are... You're killing me here. No. Well, I think, you know, we all have different different traditions, you know. In America, some of the earliest examples of Christmas cookies in the U.S. were brought by the Dutch in the early 17th century. And in the late 19th and 20th century, special Christmas cookie cutters from Germany that were designed to make cookies you could hang on your Christmas tree hit American markets. Making and eating Christmas cookies. It brings joy, and it's often a part of passing family traditions to the next generation. But the season isn't joyful for everyone. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read that when Mary's fiancé, Joseph, discovers that she's pregnant, he's ready to end their engagement. But God sent an angel to Joseph to explain to him that the baby Mary was carrying was the fulfillment of his promise to send us a savior from sin. And Joseph trusted God and took Mary as his wife. But that angel didn't go to everyone else who knew Mary. Imagine the gossip and the cruel words that she must have had to endure, not only then, but possibly for the rest of her life. Rejection by longtime friends, maybe even family members, could certainly have stolen her joy. Well, the Christmas season can be a very difficult time, a time when our joy can be stolen as well. I have more people who want to talk to me during this time of year than any other. Usually as events of the past begin to take first place in their mind, they become very painful. For some, this is a time, the first Christmas without that special loved one. For others, Christmas will be lonely because family members won't be able to come home for one reason or another. Others feel forgotten this time of year. And even sadder, sometimes they truly are forgotten. And in this season of peace and goodwill, there are times that our homes can reflect anything but. There are so many reasons this season isn't joyful for people. Mark?
Grandmacy, she was the baker in our family. If there had been a food channel in her early years, she would have been a rock star on that network. Every time we went over to her home, the warm smells of whatever was in the oven would greet us before we reached the first step of her porch. As time went on, a shift in my home meant I spent more time with my grandmother. Once my father decided to leave town, my mom needed to go back to work and find a career to support us. So guess who stepped in? She'd pick me up from school and we'd head back to her house for some homework and extracurricular baking. She dubbed me her assistant, and I felt truly honored to be welcomed into her kitchen. At first, I watched as she demonstrated the art of combining the magical ingredients, which turned into her specialty. Delicious treats like cookies, cakes, and pies of every flavor that you can imagine. There was not a single recipe book to be found. She held the library of all things delicious in her brain. Soon, she had me rolling out the cookie dough, and I moved from novice to apprentice. But it was not only the baking I learned from her. It was the giving as well. Grandma C didn't eat everything she cooked. In fact, quite to the contrary, she gave away far more than she consumed. Sometimes it was a neighbor who needed a little cheering up. Other times it was a friend who was going through a difficult time. It seemed like she had a knack of knowing when people could use a fresh-out-of-the-oven pick-me-up. Ever since the stroke last March, Grandma C isn't quite the same in the kitchen, but she comes over sometimes and watches me demonstrate all I learned from her. The biggest lesson of this was, it's not about sharing the cookies. It's about sharing the joy.
That video may strike close to home for some here. Especially about the parts of the talk about the troubles that sometimes separate families or health problems that can change our lives in a moment. But it also reminds us that we do have joy to share with those around us, even in the midst of pain, sorrow, or sadness. And for us, the source of joy isn't a cookie cutter. Our source of joy is Jesus. I like the way Eugene Peterson translates this section of our gospel reading in his translation, The Message. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly, "You are blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. But why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for pure joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true." Elizabeth and her husband had reason to be joyful. After many years of disappointment and heartfelt prayer, she and her husband were going to have a son of their own who would be John the Baptist. The Lord revealed to her, though, that the baby that Mary was carrying was no ordinary child. The young woman that was standing before her was the mother of her Lord, the one who would give birth to the Son of God. He was also coming after many years of disappointment and heartfelt prayer. In fact, centuries. In the yet-to-be-born Jesus, Elizabeth experienced a joy even greater than the yet-to-be-born child she carried, because Mary's child was the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Jesus' coming continues to be the source of our joy as well. Zephaniah, in that Old Testament reading, spoke of that, again from Eugene Peterson's The Message. "Raise the rafters, be happy, celebrate. God has reversed his judgments against you. Don't be afraid. Your God is present among you, happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love. You've carried those burdens long enough. I'll heal the maimed. I'll bring home the homeless. On judgment day, I'll bring you back home, a great family gathering. You'll see it with your own eyes, all those painful partings turned into reunions." For Zephaniah and for us, the ultimate fulfillment of that prophecy is yet to come. But every person Jesus healed, every sinner he invited into his presence, every miracle he performed was a declaration that this is what happens when God is present. And this is what awaits all who trust in him. For God's people, Christmas is a wonderful and joyful event, not simply because of family gatherings or traditions or presents under the tree or any number of other things, even cookies that we share this time of year. Christmas is joyful because our King, the King of Kings, came to tell us how much God loves us and to show us by dying the death that should have been ours and rising again to bring everyone who believes in him back home for a great family gathering, to turn all those painful partings into reunions. The joy of the coming of Christ is infectious. And it's a joy that's meant to be shared. God has answered your greatest need in the sending of his Son, and you're now free to share joy with your life. And so I encourage you, go ahead, share some cookies with others, and as you do, share the peace that God brings to you, the peace that only he can give. Amen.